Have you come expecting to hear from God this morning? Yes. Good, because so have I. Maybe we should just ask the Lord to get our hearts ready to receive from him, eh? Yeah. Lord Jesus, we invite your Holy Spirit into our hearts. We want to hear from you today. Please make our hearts receptive to what you want to tell us today. And I personally pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable before you, my Father, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So we're going to start by reading from Romans chapter 12. There's a lot of scripture to look through this morning, but I don't apologise for that, because I don't care whether you remember what I say, but remember God's word, yeah? So, Romans chapter 12, and it's from verse 1, and this is in the Message. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. And what the Holy Spirit showed me in that scripture was this one line here. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. That's a challenge, isn't it? We live in a world and an age where it's comply or die. Yeah? You must fit into this mold. You must fit into that. You must do it like this. This is what everybody does, so you must do it. So if we look at John chapter 16... and it's verse 1 and 2. It says, I've told you these things to prepare you for the rough times ahead. They are going to throw you out of their meeting places. There will even come a time when anyone who kills you will think he's doing God a favor. They will do these things because they never really understood the Father. Jesus said also in John chapter 15, verse 18 and 19, if you find the godless world is hating you, remember it got its start hating me. If you lived on the world's terms, the world would love you as one of its own. But since I picked you to live on God's terms and no longer on the world's terms, the world is going to hate you. That's strong talk, isn't it? That's strong talk. I find it very thought-provoking where Jesus said, if you lived on the world's terms, the world would love you as one of its own. Yeah? That's Jesus' words. If you stand up for Jesus, Don't expect the world to love on you. Okay? I'll say that again. If you stand up for Jesus, do not expect the world to love on you. If we look in James chapter 4, and it's verse 4, it says, "Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." Have you ever thought what that looks like? "Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God." Strong words. It doesn't mean we go around headbutting folks, okay, to be enemy of the world. It comes natural. Yeah? It comes natural. If we look in John chapter 17, it's John chapter 17, and it's from verse 14. This particular scripture is very dear to me, because when I read it, it reminds me of my dear late father. He always called this the Lord's Prayer. Yeah? We know the Lord's Prayer as "Our Father in Heaven." But my father, my earthly father, he called, when Jesus was praying for his disciples, he said he called that the Lord's Prayer. And this is what it says. "I gave them your word. The godless world hated them because of it, because they didn't join in the world's ways. Yes, as I didn't join in the world's ways, I'm not asking that you take them out of the world, but you guard them from the evil one." And this is the clincher here. "They are no more defined by the world than I am defined by the world." Yeah? Don't let the world define you. Yeah? Jesus prayed as he came to the end of this ministry on this earth. "They are no more defined by the world than I am defined by the world." That was Jesus praying for us, John, wasn't it? Yeah? Then he says, "I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but guard them from the evil one." Yeah? Keep them in the world. Yeah? It's not the time for us to be taken out of this world just this minute, yeah? He said, keep them in the world, because we're to be salt and light, yeah? Salt is a preservative. If you don't put salt on your grub, it won't last, yeah? If we look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. "Friends, this world is not your home." So read that again. "Friends, this world is not your home. So don't make yourself cozy in it. Don't indulge your ego at the expense of your soul. Don't indulge your ego at the expense of your soul. Live an exemplary life among the natives so that your actions will refute their prejudices. Then they'll be won over to God's side and they'll be joining in the celebration when he arrives. Live an exemplary life. Don't indulge your ego at the expense of your soul. A story's told of a missionary, and this is true. And he went out to be a missionary, and he was Jesus to these people. He was the only missionary there. And when he died, they buried him. And long, many, many years later, some more missionaries come along. And they arrived on this island with their boats. And they pulled up, and the local people come to them. And these missionaries said to these local people, "We've come to tell you about Jesus." And do you know what them native people done? They said, "We can take you where Jesus is buried." Yeah? Because when that first missionary went there and died there, they buried him there. Yeah? And them local folks going, "You don't need to tell us about Jesus. We can show you where Jesus is buried." This missionary was so Christ-like that the local people thought he was Jesus. Yeah? Yeah? Wasn't that amazing? Yeah? One version of the scripture says we're aliens and exiles. Yeah? Ever thought that? Is anyone here, or is it only me, old enough to remember Gentleman Jim? Real singing, right? You can understand every word he said. Well, Gentleman Jim, he used to sing this song. "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." Yeah? We're travelling folk, right? We're gypsies, okay? We're spiritual gypsies, yeah? This is not our home, okay? This is not our home. I'll try and explain what I'm trying to get at to you. Liz and I visited Spain a few weeks ago, and we stayed in Barcelona. That's a shock in itself. Everyone lives in high-rise apartments. Great big apartment blocks. Not a bit of green grass anywhere. I'm a country boy. And I don't speak the language. I have no desire at all to get accustomed to that way of life. Are you getting me? Yeah? That's how we should treat our sojourn on this earth. Like going to Spain. And there's nothing wrong with Spain. If anybody's watching from Spain, it's lovely, right? It's beautiful sun and everything else. But it ain't England's green and pleasant land, okay? Yeah? They don't understand me. I don't understand them. Everybody lives in flats. Nobody got no grass. You know? I'm blessed. I just look out the window. Grass. Grass, grass. More grass. Trees. Rabbits, too many of them. Pheasants, deers, too many of them. But I live in the country, yeah? I felt like Forrest Gump. Yeah, oh, what I'm doing here? So that's how we got to look at life on this earth. Yeah? You're getting me? Yeah. We read in that bit in 1 Peter Chapter 2, live an exemplary life among the natives so their actions will refute your prejudices. their prejudices, yeah? They won't love you, but they should respect you. They should respect that you're different. If they don't, maybe there's no clear evidence that you are different. If they don't respect you, that means you're like them. You're one of them. Yeah? We should be different, friends, yeah? Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 32, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." It's important to know what God's truth is and to speak it out. We live in a world where anything goes. You can even choose your own gender. We have to go back to God's word. If we look in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created mankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Okay? I never wrote this book, right? If you have a problem with that, take it up with the author. I'm just quoting God's word, okay? I'm just mentioning God's word, all right? The world would have us believe that our bank balance is a sign of our success and happiness. Let's see what God's word says. Matthew chapter 6. We look at Matthew chapter 6, and it's from verse 19. Don't hoard treasure down here, where it gets eaten by moths and corroded by rust, or worse, stolen by burglars. Stockpile treasure in heaven, where it's safe from moth and rust and burglars. It's obvious, isn't it? The place where your treasure is the place where you almost want to be and end up being. That's God's words, right? That's not my words. That's God's words. The place where your treasure is the place where you will most want to be and end up being. I was asked to take a millionaire's funeral recently. I told the mourners that I had once had a conversation with the deceased man. And I told him, "You can't take it with you." To which he replied to me, "I shan't go then." He had enough money to buy and bury us all here. I said, "You can't take it with you." And straight away, John, "I shan't go then." Can you imagine the shock I had when his wife phoned and said, "Would you take my husband's funeral?" Yeah? Being at his funeral was evidence that we have no say in the matter. Yeah? We have no say in the matter, friends. There's a famous saying, isn't there? There's no pockets in shrouds. Yeah? There's no pockets in them. You can't take it with you, okay? Another thing the world holds great store in is image. What you look like, what you wear, what car you drive, that'll make them laugh. There is a huge increase in cosmetic surgery. Get your teeth done. We've all seen the results of the turkey teeth, haven't we? Yeah? Get your teeth done. Get your chin done. Get your wrinkles done. Ever thought about wrinkles? Do you know what wrinkles are? They are laughter lines, but also they're evidence that God has blessed you with a long life. Yeah. Eh? Yeah. Yeah? They're evidence, if evidence was needed, that God has blessed you with a long life. Okay? So don't mess about with what he's blessed you with. Okay? We're going to have a new body anyway, so why bother spending a fortune on this one? It's only temporary. Yeah? One Samuel chapter 16. One Samuel 16. And it's verse 7. But God told Samuel, looks aren't everything. Don't be impressed with looks and stature. I've already eliminated him. God judges persons differently than humans do. Men and women look at the face. God looks at the heart. Yeah? God looks at the heart. The world promotes designer clothes. As you can see, I'm a fashion icon, ain't I, John? I never go anywhere without these, all right? I am absolutely naked without these. You will never see me without these on, all right? I should be buried in them, John, all right? Right, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 28, Jesus says, why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow, they neither toil nor spin. Yeah, I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed as one of these. Yeah? So, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Hey? Does it matter what you wear? As long as it covers the bits up that you don't want exposed. It don't matter, do it? Hey? I'm very blessed in my job, but it don't matter what I wear. Because my cattle ain't fashion conscience. You know, they don't look at each other when I go out every morning going, oh, he's still got that dirty old pair of jeans on. Oh, look at that old Forrest Gump. He's still got the same T-shirt on. They don't care what I wear. Neither should we, friends. Eh? I ain't going to be judged by what I wear. And I ain't going to be judged by the car I drive. Okay? I thank God for that. God does not judge me by the vehicle I drive. Thank you, Jesus. Okay? Praise God. Hallelujah. The world encourages us to get to the top of the ladder, whichever way we can. Yeah? So let's see what Jesus says on the subject. Matthew chapter 20. It's Matthew chapter 20 from verse 26. This is Jesus talking to the disciples. He says, you've observed how godless rulers throw their weight around, how quickly a little power goes to their head. It's not going to be that way with you. Whoever wants to be great must become a servant. Whoever wants to be first among you must be a slave. That is why the Son of Man, that is what the Son of Man has done. He came to serve and not to serve. He came to serve and not be served. And then he gave away his life in exchange for many who were held hostages. Whoever wants to be first among you must be a slave. That is a topic that I have never heard preached on. I've never heard one single preacher in my life preach on whoever wants to be first among you must be your slave. It won't fill churches, friends. Your vicars, your pastors won't preach on it because it will not fill churches. We live where we can do anything. We have human rights. I'm entitled. Yeah? You ain't entitled to nothing. Even what comes out of your mouth, that, which is the breath of God, it's been given to you. You ain't entitled to it, all right? Yeah? Yeah? You're not entitled to nothing. Okay? It was said about our Jesus, the birds have nests and the foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Do you know what that means? When do foxes sleep? During the day. When do birds sleep? In a 24-hour cycle, our Jesus had nowhere to lay his head. Ever thought about that? The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. This is the Son of Man that in Genesis chapter 1 it says, let us make man in our own image. Yeah? Jesus was there. Yeah? Let us make man in our own image. And when he laid it all aside for you and me, he didn't have nowhere to lay his head in a 24-hour cycle. He didn't even have a donkey. He had to go and borrow one from somebody else. Yeah? And then we all want a 73-plate car. Yeah? Why? Our master never had a 73-plate car. He didn't have no transport at all. So, do people know we're different from them? Eh? Or are we so like them that a fake one of us could go there and they won't take notice? Because we're just like them. Eh? You know, they otters, they couldn't tell. There was no difference whatsoever. I mean, when you see that otter's head up there in that water, it looks like a real one, doesn't it? It don't look no different from the other otters. Have we become like that? Eh? Is there anything separating us from the others? Eh? I'd like us to read Acts chapter 4. So, in Acts chapter 4, we get the tail end of the story where Peter and John had, you know, in the chapter before, the man had asked for alms and they prayed for him and he got back up on his legs, didn't he? Remember? He was at the beautiful gate. Well, that caused a lot of hoo-ha, and Peter and John were sort of arrested type thing and brought before the priests and the temple police and all the rest of it. And then Peter gets up in Acts 4, verse 8, and he says, "With that, Peter, full of the Holy Spirit, let loose rulers and leaders of the people. If we have been brought to trial today for helping a sick man, put under investigation regarding this healing, I'll be completely frank with you. We have nothing to hide." Okay? "By the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the one you killed, the one God raised from the dead, by means of this name, this man stands before you healthy and whole." Then we go down to verse 13. "They couldn't take their eyes off them. Peter and John standing there so confident, so sure of themselves. Their fascination deepened when they realized these two were laymen with no training in scripture or formal education." This is the nub verse. "They recognized them as companions of Jesus." They didn't recognize them as charity workers, social reformers, pillars of the local community. Even the people who hated Peter and John had to admit they recognized them as companions of Jesus. Yeah? They were two laymen with no training in scripture or formal education. I love that. Because I'm a layman and I have no formal education. Okay? But God uses them kind of people. Yeah? Because he likes to show off. Yeah? He's going, "Look, I can use that person." Yeah? Because they're not afraid to be a fool for Jesus. Yeah? Paul said, "I'll be a fool for Jesus." Yeah? And I'll be a fool for Jesus. Yeah? So they realized these two were laymen with no training in scripture or formal education. They recognized them as companions of Jesus. Yeah. They recognized them as companions of Jesus. Somebody said to me this morning, "It's going to be good when you're stood up there." I said, "No." I said, "A donkey could stand up here. Look at scripture. God opened a donkey's mouth." Okay? Yeah? If God can open a donkey's mouth, yeah, he can open your mouth. Yeah? You can be Jesus to your neighbor. Yeah? Because the word of God says they recognized them as laymen. Yeah? We got to get away from this image of laity and deity. Yeah? I don't know how to turn my shirt like this. John? I don't know how to turn my shirt like that to be a priest. Okay? Do we? I don't know how to put my shirt around the wrong way to be a priest, friend. The word of God says I'm a priest. Yeah? You're a priest. You're a priest, yeah? Yeah? You're a priest when you pop in your neighbours and ask how they are. You're a priest when you say, "Can I take your wheelie bin out for you?" You're a priest when you say, "Can I take you to hospital for that appointment?" Yeah? Yeah? Friends, the world ain't looking for clergymen, right? They're looking for ordinary folks. Yeah? Look at them 12 that went with Jesus. They was working men. Yeah? Look at their hands. Their hands had been as hard and calloused as anything. Yeah? They was working folks. Yeah? They instant instantly had empathy with the people they spoke to, straight away, didn't they? Yeah? When they spoke to people, then people didn't think, oh, you don't know what real life is because you're in an ivory tower. They knew them folks, Trevor, because they could thread a needle, they could do a fishing, couldn't they? They could put a string on a hook and catch fish, yeah? They knew them because they was a doctor, yeah? They knew them. And you know, they recognised them as companions of Jesus. And the challenge this week is people going to recognise us as companions of Jesus? Yeah? The Word of God says Jesus went around healing the sick and healing all those who was oppressed by the devil. Yeah? You know, we don't want to go around as religious people. God preserve us from religious people. Okay? I have people say to me, you're religious. I said, I'm not religious. Okay? I can't be doing religion. All right? God preserve us from religion. Yeah? Why do you think they nailed Jesus and hated him? The religious people. Yeah? Because he rocked the boat. Yeah? You know, we got to be ourselves. Yeah? You know, they otters, they couldn't see through a fake one. But the people you meet every day, they'll see through a fake one if you're fake with them. Yeah, they ain't stupid. Yeah? You know, you've got to take every opportunity you can, yeah, to be Jesus to them. Two or three days ago, I had a feeling to put... asked my Liz to put some cattle for sale on the internet. So Liz put them on the internet for me. And a guy said, I'm going to come from Wales the next day. I'll meet you at Cheveley Services at 11 o'clock. So, okay, fair enough. At 8 o'clock in the morning, the man's ringing me from Cheveley Services. I'm at Cheveley Services and he'd come up from Brecon. Yeah? So I drives over at Cheveley Services, a bit bleary-eyed. I did sort of get out in my pyjamas by then. But so I says to him, look, before we go to see the cows, I got to put some fuel in my Jeep because I wasn't prepared. My Jeep was a bit low. So I pulled up, put the fuel in, went to start it, John. It wouldn't start. My Jeep is conked out on the petrol pump in Cheveley Services. So the guy that I met there, fortunately, he had a Jeep. I said, look, put a rope on this and pull it out of the way. So we pulled it off the petrol station, just left it where they're all parked. And I thought, oh, this is a bit of a pain, really. But anyway, I realised later on in the day that God was in it, okay? Because if I'd have had my Jeep working, he would have followed me back to the farm. I had to go in his Jeep with him because we abandoned the Jeep at Cheveley Services. That gave me a captive audience. He couldn't get out, John. Yeah? He couldn't go nowhere. He's behind the steering wheel. What does the Word of God say? It said, be as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. Yeah. I would give everything not to have my Jeep break down on Cheveley Services. Yeah. I mean, it didn't do my image any good, John, did it? You know, I'm supposed to be like this wealthy, affluent person, you know, going over and there's my Jeep conks out, you know. And but I was Jesus to him. I started sharing testimonies with him, telling him what God had done. Yeah. And long and short was, he agreed to buy them. And he said, I'll come at the weekend. And I said, don't come Sunday. I said, I don't do business on Sunday. Oh, he says, we've got a few like you where I come from. Yeah? We've got to be different. Yeah? If we ain't different, the world ain't going to see no difference in us. Yeah? And what I thought was a setback with the broken Jeep, who knows where that bit of seed's going to go, John? Yeah? I shared with him Because he's a farmer, he's a livestock man. So you've got to be relevant to the people you talk to, ain't you? I, with the best will in the world, I cannot talk science to Vaughan. Vaughan cannot talk livestock to me. Right? Okay? I got enough between my ears to know I got to connect with the person I'm talking to. Yeah? So this cattle buying man from Pembrokeshire, no, Brecon, I says to him, I know what started the conversation. Do you get much hair coursing here? Do you know what hair coursing is? It's running a greyhound after hares illegally. It's big sport amongst certain communities, okay? Certain communities love a bit of hair coursing. So the fella says to me, do you get hair coursing on your land? I said, no, we never get no hair coursing. He said, why is that then? He said, well, it goes back a few years. I said, a few years ago, I said, I had about 8,000 travellers on my land. And I said, and since that day, I've never had no hair coursing. Yeah? Remember when we had the mission there? Never had no hair coursing. So then I says to him, when them travellers come on the land, it was in foot and mouth, 2000, 2002. All the livestock markets was closed. We couldn't sell no cattle. So the reason of our business is cows beget cows, sheep beget sheep. You start with two, you end up with 200. Yeah? And if they don't do that, you ain't in business. So during foot and mouth, the cattle numbers are building up. We can't sell them. Got no income. So this, my parents were up in Cumbria and they stopped in Cumbria, went in a little church and they met a traveller. And he said to them, we can't hold our mission at Appleby Horse Fair because Appleby is closed because of foot and mouth. So my dad being my dad, he said, ring my son, you might get some help. So he rings me. He comes on the farm and he says, can we have that field? I says, yeah, of course you can have that field. He said, how much do you want for it? I said, I don't want nothing for it. He went to his vehicle and he got out a Hovis bread bag full of cash. He said, there's £5,000 in there. He said, we normally pay £5,000 to rent the field. He's in my kitchen with £5,000 in cash in the bag, right? And I said to him, look, if it's for the gospel, I don't want nothing. I said, the gospel is free. Yeah? Free. With this, he starts crying. This is not normal traveller behaviour. The tears is running down his face. And he says, I've never met a man like you before. So, bearing in mind, we got no cattle to sell. I mean, we got cattle, but the markets are closed. So I says to Liz, try selling our cattle on the internet. So we put 70 cattle on the internet. We put them on, at the time, we valued them at £470 each. And a man come from East Anglia to look at these cattle. And he said to me, bear in mind I put them on at 470. He said, I'll give you £513 a piece for them. £513, I think it was, or £520 or something. So I thought, what's going on here? Something ain't right here. I thought, I've really dropped a clanger here and undervalued these cattle, you know. So I phoned up a friend of mine who's an auctioneer, and I said, what's my cattle worth? He said, they're worth £470 each, what you've asked for them. So I says to the guy, right, you can have them at five, whatever it is. Give me a check now. We'll clear the check. Then you can have these 70 cattle. Okay? So it's fine. So give me a check. There's a lot of money, 30 or 40 grand. I get home and I say to Liz, you ain't going to believe this, Liz. The man's paid me £47 head more than what I asked for him. We get the calculator out. It was the £5,000 I turned down the week before. Someone told me, if God orders it, he pays for it. If he don't order it, he don't pay for it, all right? Yeah? It was the $5,000 I turned down the week before. Yeah? I'm telling this man I've never met before in my life, this testimony, in his Jeep. He can get away, he's driving. Yeah? He says, oh, that's a coincidence, isn't it? So I thought, I'll give you another coincidence then, mate. I said, a few years back, a friend of mine called Angus Buchan from South Africa, he was visiting. And he said to me, if you get me a venue, I will preach in Newbury. Okay? So I goes into the Corn Exchange. I goes in there with me wellies and me working clothes covered in everything. I says, can I rent this for the night? They said, what night is it? I said, 13th of February next year. No, you can't. We've got someone booked for that night. I said, okay, fair enough. I come back here. I met with Ian Gardner and Brian Roberts and the three of us. And I said, Lord, give me the Corn Exchange. That's all I want. No pleases, nothing. I said, give me the Corn Exchange. And I knew as I prayed it, I got it. I knew as I prayed. Next morning, I go back in the Corn Exchange. Manager comes. He said, you don't give up, do you? I said, no. I said, I want it for the 13th of February. He said, the person's cancelled since you was here yesterday. Yeah. It gets better. It gets better, okay? Brian Roberts, okay? He says to me, how are you going to pay for the Corn Exchange? How are you going to pay for the Corn Exchange? I said, Brian, I have not the slightest idea how I'm going to pray for the Corn Exchange. I said, if I've done it out of my huge big ego, I shall sell some cows and pay for it. If God's ordered it, he'll pay for it. Okay? The next night, next day, I gets a knock on the door. I live in the middle of nowhere. Anybody know where I live? Nobody knocks on our door. Nobody knocks on our door. In 25 years, it's probably the only person who's ever knocked on my door. The other one I shot, all right? Yeah? And you think I'm joking. Anyway, he knocks on the door. Says, come on in, come on in, come in. He said, have you got land up the Enbourne Road? I said, yeah. He said, I'm from BT. I said, oh, are you? Yeah, he said. He said, you're due a way leave on the telegraph poles. I said, all right. He said, yeah, he said, there's this new government law just been introduced. He said, you are due a one-off payment on them telegraph poles. Well, the way leave on a telegraph pole, if you've got one on your land, is about tuppence a year. It ain't worth having, all right? Ain't worth the aggro. He said, you're due a one-off payment, he said, of £100 a pole. And by the way, you've got 27 poles. 27 times 100, what's that? 2,700. Yeah? So I tells this complete and utter stranger who's locked in the Jeep and can't get out because he's driving. To which he says to me, John, you can only have one coincidence in your life. You've had two. Yeah? So I shared Jesus with him. Yeah? I can't talk to accountants, my brother, because it don't mean nothing to me. It's a lot of squiggle on paper. Yeah? But you can. Yeah? I can't talk about computer programs because I don't know one. Yeah? You can. Yeah? I can't talk about football. I wouldn't know whether it's a pointy-shaped ball or a round one. Yeah? I can't talk to no one about the police. Okay? I can talk to farmers. I can talk to country folks. Yeah? Because I'm one of them. Okay? Yeah? You've got people that you're connected with that I shall never be able to talk to. Never. But you can. Because God has given you this amazing gift that you've built a bridge to them. Yeah? And over the course of your lifetime, you've built a bridge to people. Yeah? And one day, you're going to be able to live to bring that person back over that bridge. Yeah? Yeah? You know, the world is looking for someone to be different, yeah? And the world is looking for They think that everything comes at a cost. There's a catch in this. You're being nice because you're expecting something in return. Yeah? As Maggie Thatcher said, there's no such thing as a free dinner. Well, there is, all right? You come here on a Tuesday, you can have as many free dinners as you like, can't you, Enid? Yeah? Can't you, Jill? You can eat cake till you're sick of it. Yeah? There's no strings attached, all right? We do it because we love Jesus. Yeah? If the bit of seed we sow germinates, all well and good. Yeah? I mean, Jesus had it right when he fed all them people. He said, you never come to see me, you only come for the grub. He said, you come for the loaves and fishes. He knew what would draw them. Yeah? You know, what we got between our ears is wisdom. And we got to use it, yeah? Don't come at them with this, all right? Please do not come at them with this, all right? This is not a blunt instrument, is it? To beat people over the head, all right? Be wise, yeah? Be wise about it. Hallelujah. So I give this cattle buying man these testimonies and sent him on his way rejoicing. Now, I am not responsible whether he comes to Jesus or not. Yeah? I cannot make that seed germinate. Okay? God knows I can't make it grow. I can't make it germinate, John. But I can chuck it about. Yeah? If some falls on a good bit of ground, well, praise Jesus. If some falls on hard ground, well, I don't care. There's plenty of seed. Yeah? But, you know, you and I, you've got seed. And we've got to keep chucking it everywhere. Yeah? See, what I thought was a setback on Wednesday morning, oh, my Jeep's broke. Yeah? Then they tell me at Cheverly Services, if you leave it there for more than 2 hours, you get a £60 fine. Right? I'm thinking, this ain't looking good. Yeah? But, you know, what about the woman at the well? Jesus went out of the way for her, didn't he? Yeah. That cost him. Yeah? That cost me on Wednesday. Yeah? But I wasn't going to miss the opportunity. Yeah? Ben, you got hundreds of people coming in your shop. You don't miss the opportunity, do you? Chuck that bit of seed about. Yeah? You know, they recognised them as companions of Jesus. Yeah? Well, if you live your life on this earth and you die and go to be with Jesus, what better thing do you want put on your headstone? He was recognized as a companion of Jesus. Amen. Put that on mine, Liz. All right? I don't want a big eulogy load of rubbish, all right? Okay? Isn't it amazing when people die, they suddenly turn to be saints? Okay? You can live the wickedest life you want and some person will stand up and go, he was a saint. Well, this millionaire that I took his funeral, I said to his wife, I cannot make a saint of your husband. Okay, I'll be honest with him. I said he needed to be a saint before he died to be a saint afterwards. I told her, John. I said, I cannot make a saint of your husband. Okay? But I got up there and I said, was he beyond the grace of God? Was he beyond the grace of God? What's the answer to that? No, he wasn't. God knows what went on between him and God in those last minutes. So we just got to keep on keeping on and strive to be recognized as companions of Jesus, yeah? So we're going to sing, please, aren't we? What was it we're going to sing? We're going to sing, I Am a New Creation, yeah? Yeah? See, we're new creations and we got the hope of glory in us, yeah? Yeah? Yeah. We got the hope of glory, friends. Yeah? 2,700 for the night. Yeah, so the corn exchange was 2,700. I had 27 telegraph poles up the Enbourne Road in the hedge for which I had a one-off payment of £100 a pole. Okay? So, it's like I said to this cattle dealing man, how many coincidences can you have in your life? Yeah? Many years ago, I was thinking about seriously giving up farming. Seriously. Liz and I went for a walk one day, and Liz said to me, she said, what do you need to stay in farming? I said, I need a new baler, and I need a new bull. She said, well, let's pray that if God wants you to stay in farming, you'll get a new baler and a new bull. A guy come from a tractor sales place, and I said, I want to trade that baler in. He done me a deal which was out of this world. I could not believe it. It was such an amazing deal that the salesman got the sack afterwards, but that ain't down to me. Okay? That wasn't my fault, all right? Okay? I never thought I'd have anything new. God, give me a new baler. It was just a bull left. That day, a scripture come to me. Before they call, I will answer. Okay? Within minutes of the Holy Spirit giving me that scripture, the phone rung. It's a Welsh horse dealing man. He said, I'm in the area. Have you got somewhere that I could put some horses for the winter? I said, yeah. So he came to my place and he said, can I rent that area there for these horses for the winter? I said, yeah, of course you can. He said, how much? I said, 13,000. He goes out to the car, brings in 13 grand. So fair enough. I said, Liz, we're going to go to the auction at Newark in Nottingham. There's a bull coming up for sale. The man's selling his herd. We go to Newark. It's the best herd of cattle in the UK. The bull is as good a bull as what's in England. We walk into the pen, and me, great man of faith that I am, I says to Liz, we're going to have a job buying that bull here today. Anyway, I just reached my hands through the rails of the gate, and I said, Lord, if that bull's for us, please let us have this bull. The auction starts. It's in a huge, big auditorium, like a coliseum. And as the bull comes in, a man from the farming press, the Farmers Weekly, gets up in front of me and totally obscures my view to the auctioneer. I cannot see the auctioneer. So I look at Liz. I says, you're going to have to bid on this bull, Liz, because I can't see the auctioneer. So the bull comes in, and that day it could have been any price. He could have been 50,000, he could have been 100,000. And he starts, and Liz is bidding on him. And he gets to a figure, and I looks at Liz. I said, is that your bid on that bull, Liz? Yes, she said. I said, are you sure that's your bid on that bull? Didn't I, Liz? I said, are you sure, Liz, that that is your bid on that bull? She says, yeah. So the auctioneer downs the hammer. What did he down it at, John? 13 grand. 13 grand, all right? He dropped the hammer at 13 grand. Afterwards, we meet the auctioneer. He comes up to my wife and he says, Mrs. Butler, he said, how on earth did you manage to buy that bull for 13,000? Now, he doesn't say that to her once. He doesn't say it to her twice. He said it three times. How on earth did you manage to buy that bull for 13,000? Right. I looks at him, John. I said, we got friends in high places. Okay? And he looked at me shocked because he thought I'd rigged the auction, which is common practice, okay? Not with us, no. So he said, what do you mean, friends in high places? He said, do you mean him up there? I said, what, the Lord Almighty? I said, yes. Yeah? Now, God give us that bull and give us the wherewithal to pay for it. Yeah? That bull could have been any figure. He stopped at the figure that God give us. Yeah? And many years later, I met the same auctioneer and I shared Jesus with him in a car, in his Range Rover. He couldn't get out. I was there that long morning, people was phoning, where's Nigel? Where's Nigel? He ain't come home. Yeah? I shared Jesus with him in a Jeep for 4 hours. Yeah? I shared the testimonies about what God had done. And then I prayed with him. And I asked God's blessing on him, okay? Within a very short period of months, that auctioneer was voted auctioneer of the year for the whole country. I asked God to bless him. He said, I've got a very sore shoulder. I prayed for his shoulder. And he went, oh, God touched him. Yeah. You never know who you're going to meet. Okay. And you know, that guy will never forget that. that auctioneer, he's met a companion of Jesus. Yeah? I give him a Bible. And I, when we sort of half dispersed our herd, he was the auctioneer. I went up in the rostrum with him when they're selling. And I said to him, before you start this sale, I want to pray for you. So I prayed for him that God would use him to be the auctioneer for these cattle. The cattle that day was worth £1,000 each. One of them made 4,200, right? When the auctioneer that I'm stood next to him, he put the hammer down at 4,200. He said, I knew you had friends in high places, but I didn't realise how high your friends are. He see God in action, John, and he had to acknowledge it. Yeah? Just like those guys acknowledged that they was companions of Christ. Yeah? Yeah? You know, what I've told you is not made up. What I've told you is not pie in the sky, okay? I'm not a super Christian. I don't wear my pants on the outside and fly like Superman. I'm just like you and me, okay? You cut me and I bleed. You hit me and I'll cry, yeah? I ain't nobody special, all right? I'm just like you. You take your opportunities when you can, yeah? You know, when you go out in the mornings, pray for divine opportunities, yeah? And take them. What can they do to you? What's the worst they can do to you? Chuck you out of the church. I've been chucked out of church before. Yeah? I've been chucked out of church. That ain't a problem. Yeah. Jesus was chucked out of the church. His disciples was chucked out of the church. If you're chucked out of the church, you're in good company, friends. Good company. You couldn't get... Jesus said, rejoice when they chuck you out of the temple. Because you've made it uncomfortable for them. Yeah? We're new creations, aren't we? We're going to sing about it. Amen?